and we're recording, and Stassi's eating a banana.
Nom 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 nom. You know what? We need to be better at our energy, I think.
We do. I am from cheerleaders. I was a cheerleader. I need to step up the pep.
You are from cheerleaders?
Yeah, my mom, my cousins, my sister, my grandma.
I know everyone in your family has cheer led.
Yes.
Has led cheer in their lives, but I don't consider you all a family of cheerleaders.
No, because none of us do it anymore.
And you're all very negative people.
That's a cult of its own right there, is cheerleading.
The George family. I wonder if actual families could be cults.
Probably.
I guess mafia families would be kind of culty.
Ooh, maybe we should look into that in a future episode.
Would mafias be considered cults?
Well, you can't leave.
True. And all the work you do is for the head.
We should find a mafia cult.
All right. I'm down with that.
But today, at long last, we're attacking a cult with a female leader.
Fuck yeah.
Hashtag feminism.
Hashtag we won. Yes, all women.
Yes, all women. Hashtag don't blame me. I voted for her. That's my new thing. Don't blame me. Yes. When I was a kid, my grandma had a bumper sticker that said re-elect Al Gore because he had won the popular vote.
Right.
So I feel like we need an update of that.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
All right. So, Hal, take it away.
So, we found out about this cult here because of one of our lovely, lovely listeners.
Is it the OG?
It's our OG fan, John from Georgia.
John from Georgia.
But he emailed me a few hours ago, honestly, it was last night, and he said, you guys have to look at this church. So we are looking at the Process Church of the Final Judgment, also known as The Process.
That name is so dark.
We're
going to add that to our Matt Damon movie series.
The Process. Sounds like when he's trying to branch off into science fiction a little bit.
Well, like after, that's appropriate. This is a very science fiction-y thing.
After the success of The Martian, he goes and he becomes an astronaut who gets stranded on another planet.
Wow, he really keeps fucking up.
But this one has intelligent life. They take him prisoner. They say the only way he's going to survive is to go through the process. The process interacts.
What is it?
We don't know. That's the plot of the movie.
Oh,
but the process interacts with him and gives him special superpowers. So he becomes a crime fighter. And it turns out Marvel owned it the whole time.
Wow, I can't wait for that to hit the cinemas in 2018.
Yep.
Alrighty.
But this is the real process, and it was started, where else, in the 1960s?
Of course, of course.
This one was British.
Wow, that's so cute and 60s and
mod.
What is it? The British invasion?
Yep.
Although this is still in England.
So the British stayed where they were.
They weren't invading yet.
So, in the 1960s, Marianne and Robert D. Grimston...
Well, Marianne McLean.
I'm sorry, that was her maiden name.
De Grimston. What do we think of that last name?
That
sounds like a gothic horror villain surname.
It sounds like it would be one of Count Olaf's aliases in a series of unfortunate events.
It does sound like that! Oh, you get a knuckle for that.
Pound it.
Nice. So, tell us about them.
Well, first, Robert has a Wikipedia page, and Marianne doesn't because sexism.
Oh.
Robert...
We'll make her one.
...was born in Shanghai in 1935.
That's exciting.
I assume he was from a military family because he was not Chinese. He served in the military himself as a cavalry officer. He was stationed all over the place, and he studied originally to be an architect.
That's nice.
He boasted that he had an IQ of 163 and claimed to be a member of Mensa.
So there's no...
You know what a great way to tell if someone's like a psycho is?
If they say they're a member of Mensa.
No, if they know their... If they like brag about what number their IQ is.
I don't know my IQ.
I do.
I kind of don't want to know mine.
I do, and I'm not going around just mentioning it all
You're
the time.
You're not going to share it with the class?
Yes, I know.
Are you happy with it?
Yes, it's fine. It's normal. It's not like I have a 70 IQ.
Wait, what is a normal IQ?
It's about 100 to 115.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Mine is 125.
Nice.
So, this, just, never mind. I'm cutting out when I actually said what it was. This defeated it. So, he was boasting about what a genius IQ is considered to be 150 or above, and he said he was 163.
What a bitch.
What a bitch. Meanwhile, Marianne was born in Glasgow, Scotland, Glasgow. In 1931.
Yep.
And she had a different sort of life.
I think we're literally reading the same page right now.
Yes. No, that was the quote that went with it, which seems very British. Yes. It's such an understatement. She had a different sort of life. she grew up in poverty. Her father walked out on them, so then her mother did. She lived with a bunch of relatives who were just abusive.
Not good. Neglected her. A lot of poverty and neglect.
Her life gets very interesting, though. In the 1950s, when she was in her 20s, she immigrated to the United States and, you know, paid her living by being a prostitute.
Sure, sure.
For a brief time, she was married to Sugar Ray Robinson, who was a very famous boxer at the time.
Yeah.
You've definitely heard of him.
I've heard of Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray Robinson. I just, that's a line from a rap song, actually. It's like, couldn't even see the game of the Sugar Ray fight, but that's just what I think of every time I hear his name.
Sugar Ray Leonard, I've heard of. So who's Sugar Ray Robinson?
I don't know. I assumed it was the boxing champ.
Who decided Sugar Ray? We're going to give everyone that name.
I think it's a nickname.
He's just a boxer that I've never heard of.
But he was a very famous boxer at the time, so she was sort of...
Minor celebrity?
Not even really. Minor celebrity, just like the elbow in a celebrity, like, picture at a club. They'd be like, here's Sugar Ray Robinson and some lady. Then she left him in the early 1960s. She moved to London.
Yep.
And she took a lease on an expensive flat and set up a high-end call girl service. She was now the madam of these prostitutes.
I mean, isn't that what you're doing next semester?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm fulfilling my dream to be that lady from Secret Life of the Call Girl, not Billie Piper, just the lady who's her boss.
Yeah, so she's kind of living it up.
So she was obviously a very take-charge person. She had lived a very unusual life where she sort of had to scrap her way to whatever she got, whereas Robert was a little more chill and middle class.
Definitely chill. I would definitely say he was more chill than her.
She was older than him. They met while they were in London.
4 years.
Which was, it was a big deal back then, to be a woman to be older than the man they were with.
Yeah, that's true. So how did they meet, Al?
Oh, well, they were both living in London in the 1960s, and they met while they were members of a little group called the Church of Scientology.
Oh, what a cute little underground club that sounds like.
It sounds really fun. It sounds like totally normal and not a human rights violation at all.
So they were both trying to become auditors, which if you remember from our Scientology episode, that auditors are the ones who, like, make sure that you're...
telling the church everything about yourself.
So you can go clear. So they become, like, pretty successful auditors. Problem is, they're both a little too smart to be sheep in the Church of Scientology for too long.
They have to start their own cult.
Oh, of course.
They develop a new sort of doctrine that's based a lot more on Christianity than Scientology is, because Scientology is just made-up science fiction, but...
Of course.
This is from made-up biblical stuff.
It's just all made up.
The whole world's a mess. Just hold the door open for people.
Be a good person, and you're gonna be fine.
If you see a cute pink shirt at H&M, buy it, because then when you go back a few weeks later to buy it, it won't be there.
I don't remember that from Sunday school.
That happened to me last Sunday, so it counts.
Okay, so Marianne realizes her Scientology session rooms are being bugged because the Scientologists are like, hey, don't start getting your own ideas. And at that point, she's like, fuck it, Robert, we're leaving.
And Robert's like, yes, ma'am.
He follows her very...
wherever.
Yeah.
So they develop this new sort of theology. They believe that Jehovah, Lucifer, and Satan were recognized as the three great gods of the universe.
All right, Hal, I need your Catholic brain for a second.
Do it.
What is the difference between Satan and Lucifer?
I was actually just about to say that. Oh, there isn't one. They split it into two different people. So what happened is, in the Bible, Lucifer upsets God because God's like, you need to love the humans more than me, and Lucifer's like, no, and then God throws him off the mountain, basically, and he sets up hell.
Mount Olympus. He gets
Hephaestus. But so, basically, Lucifer is Satan is Lucifer. but they believe that they're two different people. And I'm going to read you the boy band profiles here.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, where it's like JT, the fun one. Jehovah, the wrathful one.
Oh, dear.
He was the god of vengeance, retribution, discipline, courage, and ruthlessness, and a single-minded dedication to duty, purity, and self-denial.
So he's a Gryffindor.
Yep. Or a Ravenclaw. Because no. Gryffindors don't self-deny.
How is he a Ravenclaw?
You're right, he's not a Ravenclaw. You're right.
He's a Gryffindor. He's like a really uptight Gryffindor.
He's Percy Weasley.
He's a Gryffindor with a stick up his ass, aka Percy Weasley.
He's Percy Weasley. Next up, we got Lucifer, the fun one.
Oh, Slytherin. I'm here in Slytherin.
He urges the followers to enjoy life to the fullest, to value success, be gentle, kind, and loving, and to live in peace and harmony.
Just kidding. That's Hufflepuff.
Yeah. That's Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Lucifer's a Hufflepuff.
Then finally, we have Satan, the downer one.
Aww.
They say he's the receiver of transcendent souls and corrupted bodies.
Uh-oh.
He says that each follower has two directly opposite qualities. The urge to rise above all human and physical needs and appetites, to become soul and no body, all spirit and no mind. And the other is to sink beneath the codes of human behavior and wallow in a molasses of violence, lunacy, and excessive physical indulgence.
So...
Ravenclaw.
So,
mind over matter.
Yeah. So it's like it's like yin and yang. One is like spiritual enlightenment, and the other is human disgustingness.
So basically, just life.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
So those are their three great gods of the universe.
So that I mean, that's kind of interesting that they decided to create their own character.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, let's continue. So, Alfred Adler.
Let's talk about Alfred Adler.
He is a Freudian person, so I guess he studies Freud.
He's a psychotherapist.
So Freud, as we all know,
was full of shit.
His stuff is not credible today, although it is fun to read if you're ever interested in it, like I have done. But so
that doesn't surprise me about you.
So, Adler has developed his own ideas about inferiority complexes, and he believes in these things called secret goals, which, like, drive people. It's their hidden agendas that, like, sort of make way for compulsions and neuroses. And so he wants to, like, help people find these goals and make them conscious. So then...
Which, again, is just very Freudian, because he was all about, like, the subconscious. Yes. And, like, what's not being said.
So, Robert and Marianne create a new system called compulsions analysis, which kind of combines Adler's theory of hidden goals with Hubbard's, like...
With Scientology's auditing people.
Yes. And so now they have compulsions analysis. And so they try it out on their friends, as you do.
Who among us hasn't been like, hey, can I try out a new psychotherapy on you?
Mm-hmm. And
it was the 60s. This was just everyone was, like, trying out weird shit on their friends.
So they called this the process.
Dun, dun, dun!
And their friends who try it start bringing their friends who start paying the De Grimstons.
There we go.
I like this quote. Most of the early clients came from Robert's, like, social circles. Marianne's friends tended to be from the shady side.
I love all the ways the articles subtly say she was trash.
I know! But Robert moved among the bright lights of English youth. Young professionals, architects, artists, scientists, economists, formed the first core of the De Grimstons' following. So it sounds like they're kind of... Well, not exactly, but it kind of reminds me of Am Shinrikyo, where they kind of attract, like, smart, successful,
like high up people.
Young, professional people.
And I think it's, again, sort of the reason Scientology works in the beginning is because they're advertising, like, logic and science.
Yeah.
Which were being held in more and more high regard, especially in the 1960s when everyone was like, shut up with this stupid, like, Protestant nonsense that was previously enveloping the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, the U.S. anyway, they ended up moving from the U.K. to Louisiana and becoming incorporated as a religion.
Uh-oh.
And I guess this sort of leads us into the notable craziness. And there isn't a whole lot of notable craziness besides the where are they now.
Way to really sell it.
No. Well, this whole cult is just kind of strange. They lived in Los Angeles for a while, and many people believe that they started to rub shoulders with sort of the high-end people of Los Angeles as mm-hmm. they had done with Robert's friends in London. Sure. But obviously the high-end people in California are the celebrities.
Right.
And there is proof that they had met Charles Manson many times.
That does not surprise me.
And they had talked with him, and they were all like, yeah, we really get it. And a lot of people believe that they inspired him and his family.
So, Jesus.
So they got that on their shoulders.
Nice. All right, good for them.
I'm also reading an article.
Giving back to the community.
I've been reading. There were also reports within this group, although in California, of orgies, blood sacrifices, other occult rituals. Just, you know, typical, like, crazy stuff that happens in a cult that worships Satan. I have a story of a British man whose daughter, Holly, moved to London where they still had a satellite station. And her neighbor, Susie, who was 16 years old, moved to London to stay with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought her to the De Grimstons, the 16-year-old girl.
Uh-oh.
And they stayed there, and Susie dropped out of school. They went to these process sessions every single day. After they would do these process, they would testify in front of the group, which is just, again, very evangelical, like rolling on the ground, throwing stuff back and forth. They could not remove her. They would try the American ambassadors and the London ambassadors. The authorities said that her parents, because she was 16, could take her out of the home mm-hmm. of this place.
Mm-hmm.
But when they tried to, there was this huge fight. The De Grimstons told them that it would take 2 years for her to recover. She would never be the same if they took her from these people who were her family. And she did end up getting, like, really withdrawn and depressed. She dropped out of high school. She kept having mental breakdowns. She got married at age 19. That was just her first marriage. So that's just sort of what this cult was doing to people.
It just kind of, like, sucks you up and then, like, defines your life, I guess.
And then it's like Scientology, just this compulsive auditing or whatever they're even calling it. It was breaking people down. Like, it breaks your spirit and any sense of, like, privacy or self that you may have.
Jesus. So in 1965,
mm-hmm.
Compulsions Analysis, the splinter of Scientology,
yeah,
becomes officially the Process Church of the Final Judgment.
Which is what they had to rename themselves to become a church.
Right.
Stassi, what's the Final Judgment?
Oh, let me tell you. They believe the Earth is prepared for the ultimate devastation. The scene is set. They really liked all that dark apocalypse stuff. So they were firm believers that when the apocalypse happened, Jesus and Satan, or Lucifer, or whoever, would converge and work together to do the final judgment.
So, which is what Manson borrowed.
Yes.
If you remember, that was Charles Manson's thing, too.
Jesus would judge you, and then the devil would execute that judgment. So that's what they feared. So there was a lot of satanic nonsense. And also a lot of Nazi nonsense.
Nazi nonsense. Do tell.
Nonsense.
Get out of here. You leave.
Yeah, no, it says the process was keen on the Nazis.
Well, Charles Manson was also a Nazi, remember?
No, I know he is. He is that swastika.
By the way, at the time we're recording this, I read in the news the other day that Charles Manson has been released from prison to go to the hospital.
Uh-oh.
And he's been there for several days, and it might be it.
Good. I hope it is.
And again, I'm reading about this girl, Susie, and Holly, and all of their friends in the process. A lot of them have trouble expressing emotion now, and just, they can't talk about what happened. So I think just
really messed up a lot of people.
Psychological shit happened.
Do we know what kind of leaders Mary Ann and Robert were?
Well, Mary Ann was apparently, like, the fist.
That doesn't surprise me, because she's the really, like, ambitious, manipulative one.
She was very domineering.
Yeah.
And she didn't take any, apparently she beat people, or she would drag you in front of everyone, humiliate you, and like Scientology, she would, like, yell stuff and try to force you to admit things that weren't true. And it sort of went from this psychological experiment to, like, gaslighting people.
Yeah.
Which is just...
It reminds me kind of the Stanford prison experiment of, like, just how quickly it sort of devolves into chaos.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, like, a nightmare. That was just insane. In April 1974, Robert de Grimson was removed by the Council of Masters, which was, like, the ones who oversaw him and Marianne. He was called Teacher, and she was called Oracle.
That's a sexy name. That's actually what
that's
my
a stripper
boyfriend
name.
And I call each other.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Our
when you're alone.
Pet names. You know how, like, they have in Game of Thrones, my son and stars or whatever?
Yes.
We're actually Oracle and Teacher.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Nope. It's fabulous. Continue.
So, in 1974, Robert de Grimson was removed by the Council of Masters as Teacher. They felt he had lost his way when in actuality he was the one who was sticking closer to the
original
message. And Marianne had gone lunatic on him.
Shit. So they were behind her but not him.
Yeah, she sort of took over the whole
operation.
Situation. He got kicked out and tried to restart the process church several times. He could never really replace his big following.
It was all because of her.
It
all
was.
Success.
Honestly, behind every man is a woman doing all the work, even in cults.
So he was sort of the charisma, and she was...
She was the hammer.
Yeah.
And wow. But not only did he get kicked out, this is what happened when he restarted the church, and this is 100% true.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear this.
So first, he tried to start the church again on his own and renamed it the Church of the Millennium.
Uh-oh.
Didn't work. Then he renamed it the Foundation Faith of the Millennium. Then in 1993, it was the Foundation Faith of God. And eventually, the organization became Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Kanab, Utah. And they later renamed it the Best Friends Animal Society, which works to this day.
No. Can I adopt a cat from there?
Yep.
They have animals and then they try and, like...
They work with homeless cats and dogs for PetSmart. I am not making that up.
My brain is, like, haywiring right now.
That's a hell of a where are they now, don't you think?
That's insane. That's definitely the most interesting one we've had. So, this is their, like, business?
This is just
this
who they are now.
This is their carpet cleaning business?
Yes. This is their business. And I...
So...
Marianne died in November of 2005. Robert's still alive, but they divorced in 1974, which is why he got kicked out as well. She just kind of turned on him, and then everyone else did too, because he wasn't keeping up with their craziness.
Have you seen a photo of him?
No.
Really?
No.
He looks,
I did see pictures of some members of their church, and they're all wearing... He looks strange.
Doesn't he?
I can't even... He looks like an old-fashioned, like... background actor in Robin Hood.
Yes, he does! That's exactly what he looks like.
He's got, like, a weird array of beard hair and stuff. I would also like to say that they published a magazine with all their ideas, and one of the interviews, because, again, it was fucking hippie time, everyone was reading zines. They did an interview with a former member, and all he talked about was that he was in charge of the graphics for the magazine, and he was very proud of it.
I mean, good for him. So that's them.
The other picture we found, the... process here, they wear the strangest freaking smocks I've ever seen.
It looks very KKK-esque.
It does, but they're colorful.
They,
and they have,
they
like, a
are...
weird Knights of the Templar symbol
it
on the
does.
Chest.
It does. It's really disconcerting looking at them. I'm literally looking at it right now.
I'm going to quote John here in his email.
Sure.
They went from a truly bizarre, Manson-inspiring, robe-wearing, incense-burning group claiming immense satanic power and inspiring religious devotion from over 100 followers, to the Best Friends Animal Society, which builds habitats for formerly homeless dogs and cats for PetSmart today.
Wow. That's...
You know, if that's not America, I don't know what is.
John, thank you for that recommendation.
This
was
so bizarre. We loved it.
That was such a dope episode.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I just said dope.
It's okay. I forgive you. Recommendations.
Oh, shit. You go first.
Let's see. I was just listening to Halsey's album, Badlands. Our roommate last year, Shelby, loved Halsey.
Okay.
And I'd only heard a few songs, but I liked them. And then last night, I just flipped to it on Spotify because I'm like, I should listen to more of this. And it was fabulous. It's so beautiful and weird and just, like, not like other stuff you hear on the radio today. And I thought it was great.
Thank you for that beautiful, glowing recommendation. Mine is, I don't think I've done this already, Shitfaced Shakespeare.
Nope.
The Shitfaced Shakespeare Company. I saw a show of theirs for a Christmas gift. I went with my mother. It was absolutely wonderful and hysterical. And if they're ever in town by you, I highly recommend you go. It's a great, great fucking show, and it's really funny. And I wish I could go see it again. And that's my recommendation.
She laughed, she cried, it was better than Cats.
Anything is better than Cats.
Cats is a very low bar.
I would rather walk my dogs around the block than go see Cats.
I remember talking with someone about that, and we're like, what do you even say if someone's like, I'm in Broadway in on Cats. I'm on Broadway in Cats.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's like, well, that doesn't really count. It's not like real Broadway. It was Cats. Anyway, this has been us bashing a beloved Broadway show.
No one likes that show.
Someone must. It was on for like 9 years.
Andrew Lloyd Webber masturbates to that show at night.
I know. He's just in love with his own fucking cat poetry. Andrew Lloyd Webber is a furry. We're starting that right now.
That's what our cult believes.
That's our... Get on board. Rate, review, subscribe. Send us some emails like John. We'd love to hear from you. Be excellent to each other.
Be careful, because 'tis a jungle out there.